Steven Spielrock presents a Hanna-Barbera Amblin Entertainment production, a Brian Levant film, starring John Goodman, Rick Moranis, Elizabeth Perkins, and Rosie O'Donnell. Modern age stone men work with the assistance of dinosaurs in a stone and slate quarry. In the Slate & Co. offices, Cliff Vandercave, Executive Vice President.
Look at those pathetic worms burrowing their lives away. Do you know why I'm up here and they're down there, Miss Stone?
Because you lied on your resume?
No. Because I have vision. And right now, I have a vision of you and me dripping with coconut oil on a beach in Acapulco with Mr. Slate's fortune to keep us company.
Glad we see eye to eye.
And somewhere down there is the ignorant stooge who will make all my schemes come true.
Fred Flintstone sits on the back of a dinosaur working in the quarry when the foreman pulls the tail of a buzzard, alerting the workers that the working day is over. Fred celebrates by punching the air, then slides down the tail of his dinosaur. He gets into his foot-powered car made of dinosaur bones, has his clocking-in card bitten by a small dinosaur, then races back to his cave to collect his wife Wilma, their daughter, dinosaur and saber-toothed tiger pets. Driving in the dark, the family arrive at a drive-in movie theatre. British Sky Broadcasting presents The Flintstones. A pterodactyl flies high above the clouds, carrying a group of humans on its back.
The captain has just turned on the seatbelt, signaling our descent into the bedrock area. And on your left, you'll be able to see the Grand Canyon in about 15 million years.
Also starring Carl McLaughlin, Halle Berry, Richard Moll, and Elizabeth Taylor. A view across the Grand Canyon. A sign perched high up on a rock face reads, "Welcome to Bedrock, first with fire."
K-A-T-E, Radio Bedrock.
Hey, the cave AccuForecast for tonight calls for light seismic activity and a 20% chance of meteor showers. Quick traffic update. Due to lava flows, Highway 1 will be closed forever.
K-A-T-E, Molten Obi.
Sawbelly, potter beans, tie a rope around your jeans. Tell your mom not to wait, you ain't coming home too late. Yeah, tweet! There's a town I know where the hipsters go called Bedrock. Twitch, when you get that itch and you do the twitch in Bedrock. Twitch.
Hey, watch it, will you? Finally got my hair the way I like it.
I'm just so excited, Fred. I'm gonna be a father. It's like a dream come true. A son. Someone to carry on the proud name Grubble. Think I'll be a good daddy, Fred?
Well, you're bound to find something you're good at.
Yeah, sure. Hey!
Uncle!
You know, Fred, Betty and I really owe it all to you. We would have never qualified to adopt had it not been for the money you gave us.
Now remember, Bond, that's between you and me.
But gee, Fred, I'd like to be able to tell the whole world what a great guy my best buddy is.
No. True, it was a selfless, noble act, if I do say so myself. But my only reward will be your happiness. I don't need to go blabbing my good deeds all around.
You're afraid to tell Wilma, aren't you?
Afraid? Now let's get this straight, Rubble. I don't need permission from my wife to make a decision. In my cave, I reign supreme. Supreme!
I won't tell her, Fred.
Thanks, pal.
Fred and Barney use their feet to propel their car forward up a dusty dirt track. It's a bright and sunny day in Bedrock. Children wearing animal skin tunics play on their front lawns. Fred waves at a friend mowing his lawn with a prehistoric-looking turtle. Based on the animated series by Hanna-Barbera Productions, directed by Brian Levant. Audio described by Penelope Parisi on behalf of MCS Agency.
Hiya, Timmy!
Hey, Charlie!
Fred pulls into his driveway, then kicks down the front door. His pet dinosaur, Dino, rushes to greet him, knocking him to the floor and licking him all over.
Wilma, I'm home!
No, Dino, no, Dino, bad boy!
Lost a bad dog! Bad Dino breath!
Fred, do you have to get Dino so wound up when you come home?
Not my fault. Maybe he'd calm down if we had him fixed. Here comes the big daddy saurus.
How was your day, dear?
Oh, I think my Bronto crane's pregnant again. I tell you. Forget to lock her up one Saturday night.
Comfortable, Fred.
On my way. All I need's a brew and a good scratch. Which one you want to do first?
Oh, it does my heart good to see you relaxing after a hard day at the quarry.
I'm telling you, I married the pick of the litter.
Fred, our garbage disposal's been acting up a lot lately, so I decided that it was time to buy a new one. But when I went to take money out of our savings account, guess what?
New garbage disposal. Why throw good money down the drain? There's nothing wrong with this one. All right, you, say ah.
Fred reaches his hand down the throat of a strange green creature.
Do you have any idea why there's no money in our savings account?
Aha! There's your problem, right there.
A fork. Fred closes a set of curtains, concealing the creature under the sink.
All right, you spit it out!
Where's the money, Fred?
Something happened to it. There, I said it.
We have scrimped and saved for that money, and every time we get a little bit ahead, you have to go blow it on some harebrained scheme.
Now, see here, Wilma. In this cave, I am the king! And
what, Fred?
And you have every right to know, my queen. I gave it to Barney.
You what?
I know I should have consulted you, but Barney Rubble's my neighbor, my lodge brother, and my best friend since the first time I went through to fifth grade.
Fred Flintstone.
Wilma, without that money, they wouldn't be allowed to adopt a baby. So go ahead, yell, scream, let the fur fly, give the neighbors something to talk about!
You have just done for the Rubbles is the sweetest, most generous thing I ever heard. And I adore you for it.
I also bought a new bowling ball.
Feeling amorous, Fred sweeps Wilma off her feet. A woman and a child get into a bus.
All right. All together, folks.
Betty, sit down and relax.
Oh, I can't, Wilma. It just hit me. From now on, I'll be spending 24 hours a day attending to the every need of a helpless little boy. Then again. Maybe it won't be such a big adjustment after all.
Fred! And promise me you won't say anything like you did when you saw my sister's baby.
The kid had a tail. What was I supposed to do, pretend I didn't notice?
Hello, Mommy and Daddy! I have someone who wants to meet you.
A monkey.
Well, it's not exactly what we pictured, but we'll love him like he was our own.
No, no, no. This little fellow belongs to the Hendersons. So glad you'll be nursing.
Congratulations.
Mr. and Mrs. Rubble, this is your little boy.
Oh, Barney, isn't he precious?
Precious? He'd have been better off with a monkey.
Does he have a name?
Bam Bam.
Is that short for something?
Bam Bam Bam. You're going to have to take it slowly with this one. He doesn't speak yet, and he's a little skittish around humans. But then again, I guess I would be too if I had been raised by wild mastodons.
Mastodons?
Let's not nitpick. A mammal's a mammal.
Well, sounds to me like all he needs is a little loving. Come here, little guy. He growled.
He's cute. Yeah.
It's okay, little guy. I'm your dada.
A young boy wearing a loincloth has a dirty face and wild, unkempt hair. He's startled as Wilma takes a photo.
Bam! Bam!
Bam Bam bashes Barney over the head with a club, then jumps out of the window and runs off down the street, Fred and Barney in hot pursuit.
Tight, stalemite, hold your baby very tight.
Later at the Rubble's home, Bam Bam resists as he is given a bath, followed by a haircut. Betty and Barney then attempt to teach the boy how to use a bib. The boy runs off through the house. Betty and Barney run after him, only for him to grab a club and chase them out of their own home. In the garden, Bam Bam demonstrates his strength by lifting up a woman and a child sitting on a bench. Later, Barney plays ball with him. The power of Bam Bam's throw sends Barney over the garden wall.
Wow! What an arm!
And Cinderaca married the handsome prince.
Bam Bam sits on Betty's knee as she reads to him. He kisses her sweetly on the cheek. Betty is delighted.
And they lived happily ever after.
Nighttime. In town at the bowling alley, the Inter-Lodge Championships are taking place. A man chisels the scores into a stone slate as a crab is lowered to remove the pins after a shot has been taken.
Okay, Brother Flintstone, we need a strike to win. You do it.
Hey, is the earth flat?
Fred steps up to his lane to collect his bowling ball. A toad breathes onto his hand to aid his grip. Then, after a little skip, Fred lines up his shot.
Come on, Twinkle Toes.
Everybody's attention, please. I would like to propose a toast to not only a great bowler, but a great human being. And no offense to you guys. Since I was just a lad of 10, I've had the very bestest friend. He may be big, he may be loud, so you'll never lose him in a crowd. But for my friend, the special part is what's behind his ribs, his heart. I owe my son to him, and now I stand before my peers and vow I'll pay him back someday, somehow. The end.
Oh.
That was beautiful, Bond.
I meant every word of it, Fred.
Care to join me in a cold one?
Look.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Later that evening, Fred returns home. He creeps in through his front door, clutching hold of his stone bowling ball. Despite his efforts at being quiet, his overenthusiastic pet dinosaur hears him and runs straight for him. Fred holds up a bone. Dino stops in his tracks and begs. Fred throws the bone at him and he shoots off. Moving on through the house, Fred slips over on a roller skate. The bowling ball flies up to the ceiling, then lands, hitting Fred on the head.
Look at him. Drunk as a skunkosaurus.
Mother, I can handle this.
Fred. What's that old fossil doing here? The tar pit's back up again?
Well, somebody has to be here looking after my daughter and grandchild while you're out carousing with a bunch of Neanderthals.
Oh, really? Well, for your information, the lodge no longer accepts Neanderthals.
He robs your nest egg to bail out that little troll next door while my daughter has to wash her clothes in the river.
I got half a mind.
Oh, don't flatter yourself.
That's it! Where's my club, Wilma?
You just try it, fatso!
Boy, if you was a man, I'd knock you in the
head. Brad, you two should be ashamed of yourselves. I've got my hands full just being ashamed of him.
You got your hands full when you scratch your neck.
Now stop it, both of you. Mother, Fred is a loving husband and a good provider.
Oh, really? What has he ever provided you besides shade?
Oh, Wilma. You could have married Elliot Firestone, the man who invented the wheel. Instead, you picked Fred Flintstone, the man who invented the excuse.
Let me tell you something, Pearl. I'm not going to be a nobody all my life. One of these days, I'm going to be a somebody, a real somebody. Then we'll live in a lap of luxury, and Wilma will have everything she deserves. And when that day comes, you're going to be so busy eating crow, you'll be passing feathers for a month.
Oh, you poor, poor dear. And when I think of all the sacrifices your father made for you, lambs, oxen, your brother, Jerry. Oh, Wilma, do your mother a favor. Just call Elliot Firestone. Even if things don't work out, he can give you a great deal on some tires.
Yes, Mother.
Bye, Ziba.
I'll show her. I'll show everybody.
I know you will, Fred.
Call me Fatso.
Fred, wearing his pajamas, puts a bottle out on his front porch, then lets out his saber-toothed tiger pet, who promptly jumps back in through the window. At work the next day, the workforce take a break to eat. A couple of men sit at a table before a lake.
This job sucks.
What you got today? Lizard and onions. What, half?
Sure.
You know, Fred, I hear that eating too much red meat is bad for you.
What a load of bunk. My father ate it every day of his life. He lived at a ripe old age of 38.
Your attention, please. May I have your attention? I have a very important announcement to make.
Oh, did you find out why all the guys in Pit 6 are losing their hair?
Yes, and we are currently in the process of refuting the results of that investigation. But today, I am here to formally announce the creation of Slate & Company's Executive Placement Program. Hold your questions, please. That's right. This Saturday, an aptitude test will be given, granting one of you the opportunity to crawl out of the primordial ooze and be somebody! A vice president at Slate & Company with an obscene salary and a shiny nameplate. Good luck, and may the best biped win.
An executive? This is my chance to be somebody. Be somebody.
Bam Bam pushes pebbles on a swing in his garden.
Rid of the ring around the collar.
I just started washing Fred's neck.
You know, Wilma, if Fred scores the highest on that test, you'll be able to hire someone to do your laundry for you.
If Fred scores the highest on that test, I'll have to hire someone to revive me.
Oh, it's true. Fred's no Albert Einstein, but you never know. He may surprise you.
Well, maybe. He has been studying day and night.
Oh, I know. I've never seen him so excited about something that you couldn't spread mayonnaise on.
You know, Barn, I've been thinking about this executive job. It's not me. Cooped up inside some swank office all day, kissing the big shot's feet, not Fred Flintstone. Why, good afternoon, Mr. Vandercave. My, that's a handsome belt you're wearing today.
Thank you. Your attention, please. Please take your seats, and welcome. You will have 1 hour to complete the exam. Please carve all answers with a well-sharpened number two chisel. On behalf of Slayton Company, I want to wish you all the very best of luck. Let's begin.
A group of men, along with a monkey, sit around a collection of tables taking the exam. Fred wears a puzzled expression on his face as Barney starts the test confidently. A man sitting next to the monkey attempts to copy his answers. The monkey becomes aware that the man is cheating and covers his slab. Barney, sitting on a table behind Fred, notices that his friend is frustrated as he struggles with the test.
Chisels down. Please slide your answer slab into the numbered envelope provided and stack them neatly on my desk.
Psst. Hey, Fred. How'd you do?
How'd I do? How'd I do?
Hey, you want me to take that up for you?
Yeah, thanks, pal.
Barney catches sight of Fred's answers. He turns to look at his friend, who hangs his head in his hands at the table. Barney recalls his pledge.
And I stand before my peers and vow, I'll pay him back someday, somehow, somehow.
Barney, accidentally on purpose, drops both of the slabs. Then as he bends down to pick them up, he discreetly switches them over. In his office, Cliff Vandercave puts a golf ball into the mouth of a horned toad.
Well, Cliff, test results are in.
And our unsuspecting dupe is?
Believe it or not, the one who scored the highest was Fred Flintstone.
That big ape?
No, the big ape got a 65.
Flintstone? Oh, this can't be right. He must have cheated. He's dense. He's witless.
He's perfect.
The results of the exam were very competitive, and just because an applicant was not selected is no indication of lack of ability.
Yeah, I know a kiss off when I hear one. Let's go, Barney.
That the newest member of our executive rank is Mr. Fred Flintstone.
Huh? Barney, quick. What's my name?
Fred Flintstone!
Don't toy with me, Barney.
You did it, Fred! You made it!
Barney looks delighted for his friend. In town, a paperboy rides a stone-wheeled go-kart through the residential streets, throwing the Bedrock News newspapers onto the front lawns of the homes. On the front cover of the paper reads, Flintstone named Quarry Veep. In his cave, Fred lies asleep in bed with Wilma by his side.
Good
Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
Good morning, Mrs. Vice President.
Dino, no, Dino, no.
Fred gets out of bed and starts preparing for the day ahead. Fred uses a small reptile to shave. In the kitchen, Wilma prepares breakfast.
Good boy, Dino.
In the shower, the water is sprayed over Fred by a mammoth through a window. Fred, dressed in a zebra skin robe and a red tie, appears in the kitchen.
Well, how do I look?
Daddy, pretty.
It's perfect.
Yeah, snazzy.
So, Fred, what am I going to call you now, huh? Boss? Chief?
Nah, simply Your Highness will do. No, Barn. I'm not going to be one of these guys that makes it and then forgets where he came from. First thing I'm going to do is get everyone in the quarry some vacation time. And maybe a health plan with free foot care.
Gee, Fred, I'd settle for them little packets of ketchup for the lunchroom.
I'm only one man.
Not from the back.
Well, I guess this is it, Mr. Flintstone. Get him, big guy.
Hey, Barn.
Yeah, Fred?
Could you spot me a couple bucks for lunch? I'm a little short.
You're right, Fred. Nothing's changed.
Wearing a look of pride, Fred stands before the Slate & Co. offices before finally venturing inside.
Welcome aboard, Flintstone.
We're glad you're here.
Nice suit. You know, Fred, any gravel brain can shovel rock down there in the quarry. But up here, do you know what we do up here?
Well, me and the guys have always wondered.
We interface, Flintstone. We strategize, analyze, conceptualize, prioritize.
When do we eat?
Fred, until this moment, I wasn't sure we'd pick the right man. Now I'm certain.
Fred is shown along a first floor landing to his large, impressive office.
Fred Flintstone, you've arrived.
This is my office?
That's right.
This is my chair?
Mm-hmm. Not to throw too much at you on your first day, but this big thing here is your desk.
My desk?
Watch out for your fingers in the drawers.
Am I interrupting?
Not at all. Fred, I'd like you to meet your new secretary, Miss Sharon Stone.
My secretary?
Personal secretary, Mr. Flintstone. That is, of course, if you want me.
Fred's tie springs up as he looks at the scantily dressed woman standing in the doorway.
Well, I'm sure the two of you would like to get better acquainted.
Mr. Flintstone, I'd like you to know that I enjoy working long hours, late nights, even weekends. So feel free to use me however you see fit. Now, can I get you anything? Coffee?
Sure.
How would you like it?
A cup?
Bold choice, Mr. Flintstone. You'll go far in this company.
Fred leans back in his chair and starts to talk to himself.
Take a moment. Cliff, let's play golf. We can prioritize, conceptualize, and tenderize. Executively yours, Fred Flint!
Are there six or seven eyes in Flint?
Who said that?
It was I, your dictabird.
Dicta what?
Dictabird. Read my beak. Cliff, let's play golf. We can prioritize, conceptualize, and tenderize.
Wow. Wow.
Mr. Flintstone, I'd like to warn you that management positions are fraught with peril. And whenever you find yourself in a befuddled state, I urge you to avail yourself of my experience and sage advice.
Oh, really? Listen, Bertie, let's get the pecking order straight here. I don't need any help from you. I'm vice president of...
industrial procurement.
How about that? Excuse me.
Hey, guys! Guess what I am? Vice president of industrial procurement!
Oi.
There. I'm all done with the requisition forms. What do you think?
It's perfect. Looks just like the real one. Mr. Flintstone, you are about to embezzle a great deal of money. Unfortunately for you, we get to keep it.
We can have Flintstone sign these right away.
Not just yet. Creatures like this Flintstone are primitive, prone to irrational bouts of integrity. We've got to make absolutely certain he'll do whatever we say.
Fred is the greatest bowler on earth.
Fred is the greatest bowler on earth.
Okay, now you talk and see how much I can remember.
Working hard. Okay, Fred. Are you ready for your first executive action?
Ready and willing. Whatever you need, consider it done.
Good. I want you to fire Bernard Rubble.
Done! What? Fire Barney? Why?
Well, for starters, he scored the lowest on the management aptitude test. He's an imbecile.
Hmm.
The company can't afford to have dead weight like him on the payroll.
But Mr. Vandercave, he's got a new kid. A mortgage. I'm his best friend. I can't.
Fred, if you don't fire him, I will. And then I'll fire you.
A man on stilts lights the bedrock street lamps with a flaming torch. In the dim half-light of the evening, Fred transports Barney in his car.
Come on, Fred. Usually you're yakking my ear off, but today you haven't said two words. Something exciting must have happened up there.
You don't want to know, Barney. Believe me.
Sure I do, Fred. You're the first one of us to make it out of that quarry. Look at me. I'll probably be working there for the rest of my life.
No, you won't, Barney. Take my word for it.
Come on in, take a look at it. It's a dish. It's in the shower. You keep the soap right in it.
Now listen, Barney, there's something we got to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, later, Fred.
A surprise party has been arranged for Fred in Barney's house.
Shouldn't have.
I didn't. This was all Barney and Betty's idea. We're being lucky to have friends like them, Fred. Oh, there he is! There's my big, handsome son-in-law. Have you lost weight?
Have we met?
Can I have everybody's attention, please? I got a little something I'd like to say.
I hope it's not another poem.
Fred, Betty Bam Bam and I could not be happier, even if it was me that got that job. So we got you a little something just to show you how proud of you we are. Congratulations, big guy.
A briefcase.
Barney, I can't accept this.
Sure you can.
No, I can't. Take it back.
Well, we can't, Fred. We had your initials branded on it.
Yeah, it's yours, Fred.
No, it's not.
Fred, what's wrong with you? It's a lovely gift, and he is thrilled to receive it. Aren't you, Fred?
No.
Don't you like the color?
It's not the briefcase. It's not the color. I just can't take anything from you.
But, Fred...
Take a hike, Shorty. My Freddy doesn't want that turkey thing.
How come, Fred?
Because you can't afford it, Barn.
Sure I can, pal.
Not anymore. You're fired.
Fired? Oh. Oh. Well, let's not let a little thing like this spoil the party. Conga line.
You don't worry about me, Fred. I've been working in that quarry since it was only 8 feet deep.
Attaboy!
There could be a whole new world opening up for me. Maybe I'll take in that franchise show this weekend.
That's the spirit.
Thanks. Hey, Fred, there's just one thing I gotta know. After all these years, how come they're canning me?
Barn, you're a wonderful father, a loving husband, a hard worker, and one heck of a little bowler. But, Barn, none of that counts on an aptitude test. You got the lowest score, pal.
Lowest score?
The next day, the sun shines over Bedrock. In the town center, the main street is adorned with brightly colored shops, a children's play area called Jurassic Park, an ATM machine made out of stone, and a Rock Donald's restaurant. Wilma tries on a dress in a shop.
Wilma, that is beautiful.
Well, I have always wanted a Halstone original.
Oh, no, Wilma, don't be silly. Your husband's a big executive. You can afford it.
Charge it!
Bam Bam hides amongst the clothes in the shop, watching a lady carrying an animal bag. Armed with his club, he chases the woman, smashing into a display of expensive cut crystal. In a board meeting at the Slate Company.
Gentlemen, please. I cannot endorse this modernization if it means laying off all those workers. Some of them have been here since the beginning of time.
What if I could quadruple your income?
I'll miss them. You were saying.
Sorry, I'm late. Had car trouble. Picked up a nail.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Mr. Flagstone. May we continue?
Mr. Scout, gentlemen, I have a vision. While our competitors are mired in the Stone Age, I give you the future. Oh. Slate and Company will revolutionize the building industry by providing simple, low-cost, modular housing units. Impossible, you say? Let me demonstrate. Through the miracle of geothermal power, the raw material is elevated to the second stage, where our steam-powered conveyor belt carries...
He's a madman!
Steam-powered conveyor belts carry the product to be shaped, cleaned, inspected, and delivered to discerning consumers worldwide. And did I mention... increasing our profit margin fourfold.
Very impressive, Mr. Vanderkay. Very impressive. I think we should implement this system immediately. Yes?
Excuse me, Mr. Slate. I know I'm the new man here, but I don't think you hired me just to sit around and look pretty. I hate to bust your bubble, but if you build houses this small, who's gonna live in them?
Back at the shop.
Excuse me, Mrs. Rubble.
Yes?
There seems to be a slight problem with your credit card.
Really? And what would that be?
It's no damn good.
The shop assistant destroys the stone credit card. Outside, the two friends push their children in buggies across the street.
I have never been so embarrassed in my entire life.
Go and play, children.
Wilma, I promise you I'll pay you back. I just don't know when.
Oh, now, Betty. Oh. It can't be as bad as all that.
Oh, but it is. Barney's still out of work. We've nearly spent all of our savings in Wilma. What if the adoption agency finds out? I don't want to lose my baby.
I swear, Betty, Fred and I would never let that happen.
Wilma.
Oh, Betty.
Q huge pterodactyl swoops over the town square, casting a large looming shadow over the street. Mothers rush to collect their children from the playground.
And in conclusion, Mr. Slate, I feel that a paid vacation for everyone in the quarry would raise morale and increase productivity. A whole bunch. Sincerely yours, Frederick J. Flintstone.
Should I make that flagged stone so we'll know it's from?
My, don't we look handsome today?
Thank you.
Here are today's batch of requisitions, all marked, ready for your signature.
You know, Miss Stone, I've been signing stacks of these things for weeks now, and I hate to pry, but what are they?
Oh, just tiny little forms so that we can pay the contractors working on the modernization.
You know, we remodeled our kitchen a couple of years ago, and let me tell you, contractors can be real pirates. I'm gonna read these over.
No! You're much too busy for that, Mr. Flintstone. Besides, reading is my job. You wouldn't want to put poor little old me out of work now, would you?
No. Your wife.
Wilma? Wilma! What a surprise!
So it would seem.
Miss Stone, I'd like you to meet my wife, Mrs. Flagstone, and our daughter, isn't she beautiful? My family.
I've heard so much about you.
Well, I wish that I could say the same.
Oh, that'll be all, Miss Stone. I'll sign those documents and place them on your desk.
Whatever you want.
Fred ogles Miss Stone as she slinks out of his office. Wilma slaps him in the chest.
Your secretary is very attractive.
Really? I hadn't noticed. Did I mention she chisels 18 words a minute? Hey, Wilma, did you ever see one of these? My wife is the most beautiful gal in Bedrock.
My wife is the most beautiful gal in Bedrock.
Nice try, Fred.
Nice try, Fred.
Fred! I've come to talk about the Rubble's troubles.
What's the matter? Hadn't Barney found a job yet?
It's gotten so bad they've had to rent out their house just to make ends meet.
Really? Where are they going to live?
Wilma smiles sweetly at her husband.
So glad you're over your cold. Thank you.
At Fred and Wilma's house, Betty is washing lettuce at the sink. The mammoth assists by spraying water over the greens through his long trunk.
It's nice, Betty. The Flintstones and the Rubbles all under one roof.
Yes, but Wilma, this is such an imposition. Are you sure it's okay with Fred?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, he thinks it was his idea.
Hey, Freddy. Couple of cool ones.
Oh, yeah. How about it, Barn? Flintstones and Rubbles under one roof.
Yeah, but Fred, you know, it's only temporary.
It better be. It better be. Oh, Barn, I admire you. You've lost your job, your dignity, but not your sense of humor.
As the two men play fight, Dino steals a steak from the barbecue.
Hey, Barn, you like your steak rare?
Yeah.
That one's yours.
Hey, stop! Come here, you purple rodent!
Hey, Barn! Don't forget to wash that off before you eat it.
Hey, come here. Give me that.
Barney chases the pet dinosaur. Grabbing hold of its tail, he's dragged through the house past his bewildered-looking wife and Wilma. At work, Fred looks longingly out of the boardroom window at the workforce below. Sad and despondent, he pulls the Venetian blinds on the window. He then plays with the catapult on Cliff Vandercave's model, positioned on the table.
Flintstone gets the rock. He sets his shot. He shoots! Oh! Oh. Oh, boy. Why, Miss Stone, what a pleasant surprise.
Oh, what happened here?
That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I'll get someone to fix it.
Oh, Miss Stone, before you go, there's something bothering me about this new system we're putting in here.
Oh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to understand it all, but wouldn't this thing put a lot of my guys out of work?
How would I know? I'm just a little old secretary.
Are you kidding me? You're smart. I mean, I could tell that right off. There's a lot more to you than you.
Thank you. Mr. Finstone, I sure hope I didn't get you into too much trouble with your wife the other day.
Nah, Wilma always forgives me. She knows I love her.
And you do, don't you?
Are you kidding? I'll never forget the first time I met her. She was working at a restaurant, and I won this all-you-can-eat contest, and she was the one to clean me off. Every night I go home and I look at her and I think, what is a beautiful woman like that doing with a big glue like me?
I think I know.
Where have you been?
With Fred. I mean, Mr. Flintstone. I'm worried, Cliff. He's smarter than we thought.
He'd have to be to get himself dressed in the morning.
He's been asking a lot of questions. I think we should just call the whole thing off.
No, I've got a better idea. Why don't we turn ourselves in? Then we can rot in jail until the polls freeze over.
I was just thinking...
Stick to your strengths, Miss Stone. And I'll stick to mine. Besides, if Mr. Flintstone insists on being so conscientious, perhaps we can give Fred something to take his mind off work.
A bonus?
That's right, Fred. You deserve it.
For what?
Don't be modest, you go-getter, you. Oh, and Fred, let me let you in on a little secret. If you really want to become a top executive at this company, you've got to start living like one.
Fred celebrates his good fortune by throwing the money into the air. Later, Fred drives his basic model vehicle into a garage called Snob's Autos. Then moments later, drives back out in a fancy red sports car with a number plate reading Bedrock Yabadoo BC.
Hey, good afternoon, madam.
Full serve, please.
Fred pulls up outside a smart shop with valet parking. He lifts Wilma out of the passenger seat and goes inside. A while later, they emerge from the store wearing elegant new outfits. At home, they replace the waste disposal creature under the sink with a new refined version. In the garden, Wilma exercises with the aid of a personal trainer. Betty looks angered as Wilma calls to her.
Betty!
A montage of shots, new furniture in their lounge, beaded curtains on a window, a boat on the driveway, a second level built upon their home, along with a balcony and a satellite dish. At the quarry, Barney sits in a vehicle at the top of a hill with a sign behind him reading, Test Area. Wearing a crash helmet, colleagues push him down the hill towards a large stone wall. Meanwhile, Wilma and Fred sip cocktails in a jacuzzi.
Who said money doesn't buy happiness?
Fred, isn't this all too much, too fast?
Wilma, in the buffet of life, there are no second helpers. You gotta fill up your plate, top off your cup, and stuff a few rolls in your pocket.
Betty watches enviously from the kitchen window.
You know, Barney, life's funny. One minute people are your best friends, and the next you're fantasizing they're being ripped apart by a pack of rabid wolves.
You too, huh?
Oh, Barney, they've changed. I hardly know them since Fred's become such a big shot.
Yeah, and it should be us that's squandering all our money and treating our friends like dirt.
Now, what do you mean?
Nothing. Just sour grapes, I guess.
Don't worry, Barney. It's gonna get better. One day, we're gonna look back on all this, and we'll laugh.
Geez, I hope so, Betty, because tomorrow they got me testing shark repellent.
Leaving early.
Actually, the wife and I were going to have a little dinner tonight at Cavern on the Green.
Ooh, pricey. Be sure to put that on your expense account. Fred, before you go, would you mind chipping your ex on a couple of these?
Yeah, sure. What are they?
Well, you sign these and all your good buddies down in the quarry get some much-needed time off.
No kidding. Well, I guess Mr. Slate finally noticed all those memos I've been sending in. Hope the guys will know who's to thank for this.
I'll make sure you get all the credit.
Mr. Finstone, up to now, our relationship has not been based on mutuality of admiration or respect.
Huh?
Well, put more simply, you hate my bird guts and I think you're dumber than mud.
Ah, well, good night.
Still, I wish to pass on an old dictum from business school that may be apropos here. Only an idiot signed something before reading it.
Excuse me, I'm the executive, you're the office equipment. If I want to ask the office equipment for advice, I'll ask the water cooler.
Ladies and gentlemen, the BC-52!
At a club called Cavern on the Green, Fred and Wilma are dancing enthusiastically to the music, being played by a live band.
Betty?
Oh, no thank you, Fred. I'll wait till Barney gets here. He started some new job today. I'm not sure what time he gets done.
Well, while we're waiting, how about another carafe of the bubbly? Garçon! Whoops.
Don't worry, Mr. Flintstone. I'll have that taken care of right away. Table 7, Sonny.
Barney! Hey, nice skins. Sit down, take a load off.
I can't, Fred. I'm working here.
You're a busboy?
It's honest work.
Yeah, and I don't have to fight Dino for my supper. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get you a fresh tablecloth, sir.
See, Wilma? And you were worried he'd never find a job and we'd be stuck with him forever.
Embarrassed, Wilma smiles awkwardly at Betty. Working behind the bar, a shocked Barney watches a black-and-white news report on a television screen.
And the demonstration continues to get uglier at Slate & Company, following the unexpected layoff of virtually the entire labor force by VP Fred Flintstone. For the Cave News Network, this is Susan Rock.
Fred, did you hear what happened to everyone at the quarry today?
Yep. A few hours ago, I sent them all off on a nice, long vacation.
You mean a permanent vacation? He fired them.
Fred, how could you?
I didn't do that.
You did, too. It's all over the TV.
Fred!
Wilma, who are you gonna believe, me or some busboy?
That busboy is your best friend.
Best friend? Best friend? I lost my best friend the day I became an executive. He's just jealous of my hard-earned success.
Hard-earned? Tell me something, Mr. Vice President. What's a graduated inventory plan? Huh? How about supply and demand? Hey, Fred, what's 2 and 2?
I didn't come here to talk business. I'm out with my wife. Now, get me a clean spoon.
That does it. The only reason you got that job is because I switched tests with you.
Oh, Barney.
Oh, ho, ho, that's rich. What good would it do me to switch tests with a guy that got the lowest score in the quarry?
Think about it, Fred.
Oh, finally, it all makes sense.
You don't believe this, do you?
Are you calling my husband a liar?
Now, this has gone far enough. After everything that we've done for you, we took you into our home.
Oh, yeah, so you could show off every chance you got. You used to be such nice people, but now, you're just a couple of rich snobs.
better than being a couple of petty ingrates.
Come on, Barney. We are moving out. Tonight!
Hang on, Betty. I forgot to punch out.
Barney punches Fred in the face. Dazed, Fred sways a little before falling backwards onto the ground. Jubilant, Betty and Barney march out of the club. Barney removes his apron and tosses it over his shoulder as he goes. At home, Bam Bam carries out their furniture and stacks it onto the car.
Put it up, Cop.
Betty, please. We can work it out. We're all civilized people here.
It's too late, Wilma.
Come on. We all said things that we didn't mean.
Speak for yourself.
Come on, Betty. Time to hit the road.
Fred, aren't you even the least bit sorry?
Sure, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ever met the little moocher.
Oh, Betty.
Goodbye, Wilma.
Oh.
Outside, Wilma holds Pebbles in her arms as she sadly watches her friends depart down the street in their heavily laden car. In the house, Fred pretends to read the newspaper.
They're gone. I cannot believe you just sat there and let them walk out of our lives.
At least I can walk around the house in my underwear again.
And that is more important to you than 20 years of friendship?
It is on a hot day. They were holding us back, Wilma. We'll make new friends. There's 4,000 other people in this world. Who needs the rebels?
I do. But I'll tell you what I don't need. I don't need this necklace. You know, I don't need this lamp. And I don't need this television set.
Not the TV.
I don't. This. This. Oh, I don't think I'll be needing any of this bone china because I don't have any friends to invite to dinner. No, I don't think I'll be using any of these cups.
Oh, you're gonna regret this one. It's gonna take you hours to clean up this mess.
Carrying a suitcase and pebbles, Wilma exits the house along with Dino and gets into an awaiting car.
All right, Wilma. Enough of this charade. Come back now and I'll forgive you. Oh, you're bluffing, Wilma Slaghoople. You're not going to your mother's. Once around the block, you'll realize the folly of your ways and you'll come crawling back. Please.
Despondent, Fred hangs his head as he slumps back inside the house. A new day. Barney and his family are in the countryside. Barney tries to light a fire by rubbing sticks together in order to cook some dinosaur eggs. Betty sweeps around the camp, which they have turned into their home.
It's finally happened. I've become my father.
Oh, now, Barney, don't talk like that. This place is fine for now.
Come on, Betty.
We're living downwind from a family of wild boars.
Face it.
We've hit rock bottom.
Come here, little guy.
Can you say dada? Say dada.
Bam! Bam!
Oh, it doesn't really matter where we live, as long as we're together. Family hug!
A dinosaur.
Betty? Exactly where did you get those eggs?
Sorry. I think it might be twins.
The workforce protest outside the gates of the quarry. Fred pulls up in his car.
Good morning, Mr. Flintstone.
Fred stomps into the offices and goes into a room full of filing cabinets, which he starts to rummage through.
They made a fool out of me.
Well, but they had to work with.
Flintstone, heard you were down in the file room. Find anything interesting?
Yeah, I'm onto your little scam. Billing phony companies and keeping the money for yourself. I'm going to Mr. Slate.
Good idea. Turning yourself in might buy you a little bit of leniency.
Me? This entire scheme was your idea.
True. But I've graciously decided to give you all the credit, since it's your name on the requisitions.
I never touched any of that money.
Fred, please. Remodeling your house, furs, jewelry, a fully equipped LeSabre tooth? You should have been more discreet.
I'm innocent.
Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Miss Stone, call security. Tell them we've uncovered an embezzler.
Miss Stone, you'll back me up, won't you?
You better run while you still have a chance.
You'll never get away with this.
I already have.
The newspaper cover reads, Flintstone indicted, fugitive still at large.
Here comes the pterodactyl.
It's no use, Mother. She misses Fred. I hope it's not that pesky Abrock lady again. Oh. Ben.
Oh. Bam, bam.
I have missed you so much.
I don't care what Barney said. I couldn't let you go through this alone. Oh. You heard from Fred.
No.
I spoke to a lawyer. If he's missing 7 years,
you can remarry.
Mother. Well, wherever Fred is, I hope he knows I still love him.
Oh.
On a dark and wet night, Fred hides in the shadows of a shop as a police car drives by. Fred watches a news bulletin through a shop window.
Tonight, in a special edition of Bedrock's Most Wanted, we bring you the story that's rocked our city. The case of the embezzling executive.
Mr. Flintstone, what are you doing?
I'm an executive. I'm embezzling.
I'm shocked.
How could you ever marry that man?
Mother, that man is not my husband.
That's right. He plays Dr. Gravelman on The Young and the Thumbless.
Fred might be a lot of things, but a thief is not one of them.
Can you prove it?
Who cares? Yabba dabba dabba!
Yabba dabba dabba!
This menace remains at large. We ask the public's help in apprehending.
Maybe I can.
Fred wears a long dark cape and a fake beard and moustache to disguise himself. He roams into an area of town full of homeless people, along with his waste disposal creature that he cast out. He approaches a man huddled by a fire.
Hey, brother. A little something to take that chill off. Take a swig of this. Put hair on your knuckles. Tell me something. You one of those guys that was laid off up there at the stone quarry?
Yeah, I used to work there.
A lot of guys down here would like to get their hands on the guy who's responsible for all this.
So they could hear his side of the story?
What? His side of the story?
Flintstone! Flintstone!
It is! Flintstone!
Just think, this time tomorrow, we'll be on a pterodactyl winging our way.
Oh, Cliff?
Hmm?
How come there's only one ticket to Rockapulco?
For your protection, darling. I thought I would go on a business trip while you stay here to keep up appearances. Then, when we're sure it's safe, I'll send for you.
Forgive me, Cliff. Looks like you've thought of everything.
Thank you. Wilma and Betty sneak into Fred's office. The dictabird is asleep on his perch.
Excuse me. Hello?
No, Mumsy, I don't want to go to school. The other boys make fun of me.
Wake up! Ha!
This is Flintstone. What do I owe the honor of this break-in?
I need your help, Mr. Bird. You hear everything that goes on in this office. Mm-hmm. You are the only one who can help clear my husband.
My, what a delicious irony. Thank you for sharing it with me. Now let me share something with you.
Oh, now, Wilma, calm down. Maybe I can reason with him.
Ow! All set. You know, my only regret is I won't be around when that shoddy new equipment blows up in their big, dumb faces. Oh, well. I'll just have to console myself with all that money. Hey, who's that?
That's Flintstone's wife.
What would she want with a stinky old dictator? Son of a Brachiosaurus.
Well, Cliff, I guess you haven't thought of everything.
Oh, this is far from over.
Fred runs for his life through the streets of Bedrock, a mad crowd of men and women in hot pursuit.
Bring him up!
Wait, you can't do this! I was trained!
In a minute, you're gonna be boxed!
Anybody want a snow cone?
Barney!
Fred! What are you doing here?
I'm getting lynched!
Oh, I got cherry, lime, Rocky Road?
Wait a minute. Do you know this guy?
No, he used to be my best friend. Heck, in a way, if it wasn't for me, this whole mess probably wouldn't have happened.
Thanks for filling us in, mister. We could have made a very big mistake here. Hang both of them.
What? Hey, gee, take it easy. You make to pay for your own uniforms. Hey, hey.
Barney, I thought you came to save me.
Save you? I saw a crowd. I figured I'd sell a few snow cones.
You mean you haven't forgiven me yet?
Nope. And frankly, I don't think this is gonna help.
I took a cherry.
I can't break a 20.
Hey, wait a minute.
Look, Barn, I know you're still a little mad at me. But I want you to know that if I had to have someone hanging next to me, I'm glad it's you.
I guess switching them tests didn't turn out much like I planned, huh, Fred?
Hey, got any lemon? Check in the back.
Gee,
why can't business be this good every day?
Story of my life. I'm a loser.
No, you're not.
What, this makes me a winner?
No, but you're the best friend a guy ever had, and that makes you a winner in my book, pal. Me, I'm just a big jerk.
Everybody loves you, Fred. Except, of course, for this lynch mob.
Fred.
With their hands tied and a noose around their necks, the two men share an intimate moment.
Come on, you'll have plenty of time to bond in the afterlife.
Willa, look! Is innocent.
Barney, do you have to do everything Fred does?
Everybody, listen to him.
First things first, I demand an apology.
I'm sorry.
Not you, him.
Me? Apologize to a bird? Not Fred Flintstone.
I had hoped we might be colleagues, but instead you've treated me as if I were an ordinary piece of office furniture. I may eat bugs, but I have feelings, Mr. Flintstone. And you hurt them.
Look, I know I could have been a little more sensitive, especially when you were molting. Sorry.
I don't think they heard you in the back.
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I'm sorry!
Oh.
Gather round, everyone. I'll tell you the tale of an unsophisticated man caught up in a treacherous web of power, deceit, and lust.
Oh, yeah.
Why is the door open?
Betty!
Oh, well, the door is open.
They arrive back at the house to find Wilma's mother lying on the floor, bound and gagged.
Pebbles!
A madman would do something like this.
That's a poor poochie. That's a baby.
Pebbles and Bam Bam are gone. They live this.
It's a note.
If you want to see your kids again, bring the Dictabird to the quarry at dawn. No police.
The next day, Barney and Fred, with the Dictabird perched on his shoulder, arrive at the quarry.
Mr. Flintstone, stealing office equipment, really?
Is this the kind of example you want to set for your daughter?
Where the kids?
The bird, please.
First, we want our children.
Of course.
Bam Bam!
Take one more step, Mr. Rubble, and this quarry's safety record will be severely tarnished. Now, give me the bird.
Go on, Fred. Give him what he wants.
What?
Don't worry, I've got a plan. We're gonna get the kids back, and then we'll rescue you.
What a strategist.
I should have signed with Disney. They never would have allowed this sort of thing to happen.
Easy.
Thank you, gentlemen. And in the words of my beloved mother, I'm taking the money and moving to a warmer climate.
Cliff pulls a large lever on a piece of machinery, starting up a conveyor belt. High above the quarry, the children are tied up in a cart, which starts to move towards the heavy-duty machinery.
Let's discuss this, shall we, Cliff? May I call you Cliff?
Barney, too much pressure! One, two, three! Oh! Nice going!
Now what do we do?
You get the kids, I'll try and stop this!
Using all of their strength, Fred and Barney try to push the lever into the off position. Their attempts are in vain as the lever snaps off in their hands. Frantic with worry, Barney watches as the children are transported between rows of boulders, moving ever closer towards the machinery that pummels the rock. In his bid to reach the children, Barney positions himself in a catapult and launches himself through the air towards the children. However, he is off target and lands face first into the rock face.
Cliffy, if I ever told you, you have a very distinguished chin.
Shut up!
As Cliff runs towards his car, the Dictabird bites his hand. Meanwhile, Fred continues his efforts to shut down the machinery.
Oh dear, too many years behind the desk. Oh,
mayday! Mayday!
Barney leaps from boulder to boulder to reach the children.
Call me Dada! Oh, Barney, you lunkhead!
As Barney celebrates his son's ability to speak, he gets hit on the back of the head by a large bone, which forms part of the equipment's structure.
What am I gonna do? I gotta think of something.
Two ideas flash up before Fred. One involves his mother-in-law in the jaws of a ferocious dinosaur. Then he recalls playing with the model catapult in the boardroom.
Wake up, Uncle
Barney! Help! Help! Save me! Save me from this mad MBA!
Don't worry. I'll take care of him.
My hero. Yipes!
Flintstone, kiss your bird goodbye.
Mama.
As Cliff takes aim with his gun, he gets clobbered from behind by Miss Stone with a bag full of cash.
Will there be anything else, Mr. Flintstone?
No, Miss Stone. Take the rest of the day off.
Miss Stone smiles broadly at Fred. Putting his plan into action, Fred endeavors to push a large rotating catapult into position. Pebble screams as they near the large, sharp-edged stone crushing equipment. As Pebble screams, Barney starts to come too. He grabs hold of the children and jumps off the conveyor belt just as the boulder that Fred has launched smashes into the equipment, sending plumes of smoke up into the air. Cliff, on his hands and knees, frantically scrabbles along the ground, picking up the cash.
Cliff, it's time for you and me to interface.
Looking worried, Cliff staggers to his feet and starts to run away from Fred through the quarry. Picking up a round-shaped rock, Fred uses it like a bowling ball and sends it hurtling towards Cliff's ankles, bringing him down on impact. As the jubilant Fred celebrates, the Bedrock police burst through the quarry gates in their cars. During the destruction of the quarry machinery, a supply of water has been released, spilling over the rock face, creating a landslide on top of Cliff.
And then Cliff said, "True, but I've graciously decided to give you all the credit since it's your name on all the requisition forms."
Mr. Flintstone, I may not be in on Monday.
Don't worry, Miss Stone. I'll tell them what you did. I'm sure they'll let you off easy.
Well, I've been a very bad girl. But you have to admit, I was very, very good at it.
She winks at Fred before being led off by a policeman.
Come on, do it for Mommy. Who am I?
Bam! Bam! Oh.
Thank goodness you're all right.
Well, I'm not going to jail, but it won't be easy getting a new job. What kind of reference is Mr. Slate going to give me after I destroyed his quarry?
Oh, none of this was your fault, Fred. I'm sure Mr. Slate will understand.
Flintstone!
Sure, now he gets my name right.
How did this happen?
Well, Mr. Slate, it all started when the rebels here wanted to adopt a baby.
Not that! How did this happen to Cliff?
Well, you see, Mr. Slate, the machinery went haywire and the rocks got all crushed up and that got mixed in with water and that came all down the hill. Mr. Slate, I'm sorry.
Sorry? I love this stuff. I'm gonna name it after my daughter, Concretia. Flintstone, you're a genius.
Me? Really? Why?
Don't you see? Thanks to concrete, man can now shape his own destiny. The Stone Age is over.
First thing, I want you to hire back all the men, Flintstone. We're going into production immediately.
We?
That's right. You are hereby promoted to president of the entire concrete division.
Yeah, but...
That's a real nice offer, Mr. Slate, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to turn you down.
Don't listen to him, Mr. Slate. Fred, it's a great job, and this time you deserve it.
Barney... All my life, I wanted to be a somebody, and when I finally did, I turned into somebody I didn't like.
Good grief, man. Have you lost your mind? This could make you rich. Rich beyond your wildest dreams.
I was always the richest man in the world. I just never knew it. So if it's okay with you, Mr. Slate, all I want is my old job back and my old life.
Fred.
And 2 weeks paid vacation for all the men in the quarry, an annual cost of living increase, and those little packets of ketchup in the lunchroom.
Done.
Thanks, boss. See you at the company picnic.
There goes the best executive I ever had.
Fred, I'm so proud of you.
And I'm proud of you, Barney.
And I'm starving.
Me too.
What do you say we get some breakfast? Snake and eggs for everybody. My treat.
Great.
Barney.
Yeah, Fred.
Could you spot me a couple bucks? I'm a little short.
Not this time, but...
Barney play fights with Fred. A montage of shots. The Flintstones at the drive-in movie theater. arriving home with Pebbles and their pets. Fred putting bottles out on his porch, then throwing out his saber-toothed tiger, who promptly jumps back in through the window. Fred is then thrown out of the front door by his pet and is locked out of his own home.
Someday, maybe Fred will win the fight. Cat stay up for the night.